I mentioned that my first Sunday Easter here, how I love Cadbury cream eggs. I did not mention it this year because I received like 10 packs that first year. There are no more marshmallow peeps. I never mention marshmallow peeps because I don't like them. Easter baskets, gone. Things are pretty much back to whatever passes for normal. Back to the old pre-Easter routine. Back to the same old Sunday. So now what? Now what? Though the crowds may not be the same, saints, the joy of Easter is so great, the victory of Easter is so decisive, the resurrection Sunday all by itself can't cover all that the resurrection of Jesus did for us. That's why Easter is not just one Sunday. We are in Eastertide. 7 Sundays we share and we celebrate Christ's victory over sin and death. 7 Sundays all the way up to Pentecost to engage in what it means to be a resurrection people. 7 Sundays to intentionally praise the Lord for what he has done. So today, let me be specific. Again, we are praising the Lord for the youth, the children, the 5 students who are confirming their faith. We are praising the Lord for the ones who will remember their baptism and the ones who will be baptized. We are praising the Lord for the ministries, those who are serving, the men at Bright Bridge Ministries, who are feeding the hungry within our community, who are knitting prayer shawls for the joy-filled and the somber occasions. We are praising the Lord because God woke us up this morning and started us on our way. God walks with us through our celebrations and fears, and he never abandons us. We are praising the Lord, who reminds us that if we do not praise him, the rocks will cry out in our stead. Our very breath, saints, the in and out, the rhythm of our breathing is a precious praise to the Lord. So hear the psalmist in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet and sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Good morning, Easter people of God. I have to admit, after Psalm 150, our lectionary text today is a bit, and we'll get to that, it's a lot out of context. It's odd and clunky and complex, but it brings back what it means to live our lives as Easter people, as resurrection people. What it means to return to the tomb where Jesus died for us. Without resurrection, there is no redemption, no promise of forgiveness of sins, no rebirth, no transformation, no eternal life in Christ. As resurrection people, we are living out lives remembering Jesus's promises. We are to react to this awe-inspiring discovery and to report faithfully as a witness to all who can, not will, can hear. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time to hear from you, to hear your word. Lord, remove anything that may hinder us from being fully present, busy lives, grocery lists, things that are happening at home. And let us focus on you in this moment. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Today's text parachute drops us into a conversation that simply makes very little sense. I admit it. So we need a little bit of context. First, I want to ask you on this Easter Sunday, where is the risen Christ? Where is the risen Christ? We are a post resurrection people. So I ask again, where is the risen Christ? I want you to keep that question in your mind and on your heart. Leading up to this point in the book of Acts, the apostles had performed many signs and wonders among the people. And they are threatened and ordered not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But the apostles are bold, and they disregard this directive. Eventually, they are arrested and brought before a council, the religious council, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, because the council fear that the crowd, the ones who are receiving the good news about Jesus, may eventually hold them responsible for Jesus' death. And the apostles do. Because in verse 30, they say, "The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree." The apostles further claim that it is through Jesus, instead of the reigning religious powers, that God might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. This text is a lot in just a few verses. It's a lot to take in. But I love that we hear, that we witness the Apostle Peter, who is the one who runs to the tomb, leaves it bewildered on Resurrection Sunday without hesitation, after a directive, after an arrest, proclaim, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Do you remember last Sunday's Easter challenge to return, to remember, to react, and to report? This text is one of many resurrection claims, a moment of sharing the good news, a moment of preaching the truth for someone like myself. But for all of us, a moment to take in this resurrection narrative of new life breaking through. We are a resurrection community, an Easter people. I immediately begin to wrestle with verse 29. We must obey God rather than any human authority. So I invite you today to wrestle with me, because the obedience of God encompasses a lot of individual and communal commitments. Commitments and commandments. Loving our neighbor, love one another, praying, attending worship, welcoming the stranger, not to forsake the fellowship, the gathering of believers, the missional work we're called to in our community. The obedience of God encompasses hospitality and generosity, giving of our tithes and offerings, all of those mentioned, and so much more, are bullet points in our lives. They're disciplines, exercises, commitments to the intentionality of our faith at work, the hows of our faith that reside under an umbrella. Do you all know what an umbrella is? Kinda? Okay. I wanted to bring a giant umbrella in here and open it up, but I don't know why it is. If you grew up like me, you just don't open an umbrella in the house. I still don't know the reason, but I wasn't going to test it. So today, our imagination is at play. On the outside of the umbrella, we see one thing, and on the inside, we see something else. On the inside, residing in the shade and the protection of the umbrella, we have the how, the disciplines, the exercises, the commitments, the commandments, and the intentionality of our service and love for God. This gospel umbrella, if it's okay if I call it that, on the very top is the sharing, better yet, the proclaiming of the good news of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the why of who we are as a resurrection people, as an Easter people. Whenever we see an umbrella, we know that person believes that rain is coming. An umbrella is a tool to provide this protection against becoming wet, becoming soaked with water. I wrestled with this text because so very often we show people, our neighbors, our community, the protection we have under the umbrella, the how of our faith, but rarely, like Peter in this text, proclaim the why. I've never had anyone ask me why I am carrying an umbrella. They always ask or say something. Is it going to rain today? I didn't know it was going to rain today, but no one ever asks, why are you carrying an umbrella? What if, you know I like my what ifs, what if when we smile, when we give, when we build relationships with people, because we're constantly and consistently sharing the good news of the gospel, they already know why it is that we do what we do. It is because of the love for God, because of resurrection, because we are Easter people. What if, when we walked in our communities, people already knew that's the body of Christ right there? Because we never stop talking about Jesus. Christ, through Peter, through this text, is showing us the significance of proclaiming Christ and not just showing Christ. We live in a both and world. One cannot function without the other. The umbrella itself is the why, and inside the umbrella is the how. We are called to obey God rather than any human authority. But listen very carefully, because it is really simple, saints. In today's text, obedience to God rather than human authority is about telling the rich, the religious, the impoverished, the community, the marginalized, the good news of Christ, and showing is taking a back burner. Everything we do out of this news falls into the underside of this umbrella in a very tangible way. We are to proclaim the gospel first. The apostles were specifically told not to preach, not to teach, nor do anything in Jesus' name. And they did it anyway. They proclaimed the resurrection. They proclaimed their witness to the healings, and through the movement of the Holy Spirit, healed others. They proclaimed Christ even though they were told not to. As a post-resurrection people, we have the power to share the gospel without the forces of duress that we see in this text. Many of us have been brought up to not talk about religion in family gatherings, around dinner tables, in the workplace, to our neighbors. But does that mean we shouldn't be talking about Jesus? Does that mean we shouldn't be teaching about Jesus? See, obeying God rather than human authority is taking to heart, is pulling out our umbrella and talking about the resurrected one who forgives our sins, and we proclaim blessings upon blessings out of our love for him. Am I making any sense? A few days ago, I visited Grace Stinson's family. She was in hospice. Some of you may not know her, but Grace faithfully attended the traditional service and passed away several days ago. But I share this because if you have ever been to hospice, it is a very quiet and peaceful place, where everyone speaks in hushed tones. As I'm making my way to Grace's room, who at the time was peacefully resting, I hear laughter and voices filled with joy. I walk in, and it was like a cheers moment. Hey, Pastor Sheila! And I said, is there a party going on in here? And Grace's daughter said, yes. We are simply talking about Jesus. As Grace transitioned, this family talked about Jesus so much, so loudly, and with so much joy that they were told several times by the nurses to keep it down. Though they didn't say it, I heard through this text, because they continued to talk about Jesus and celebrate Jesus, I heard we must obey God rather than any human authority. They simply kept talking about Jesus. What if, saints, you know what I'm going to say, we spent more time simply talking about Jesus? That there is more to life than the here and now. That when we have breath in our bodies, that breath should be spent grazing the top of the umbrella, praising the Lord, telling of God's good works, simply talking about Jesus and the bullet points, showing the world what it means to walk with Christ. We talk about Jesus so much, they tell us to be quiet. And we talk about him even more. Our words mean something. And for some, life or death. Our words invite us to serve, to fight for injustice, to learn about each other. We can't have one without the other. We cannot talk and not do, and cannot do and not talk. It is a compliance, a commitment, a commandment to do both and as followers of Christ. When we love God, we cannot be indifferent to the gospel. But sometimes we need to be indifferent to our differences in order to share the good news of Christ. Peter is finding himself amid this complex context of multiple level political forces, and he still proclaims Jesus. Peter is under the threat of arrest and even death, and he still proclaims Jesus. Peter walked away from the tomb in disbelief and witnessed Jesus for himself, and he would continue to still proclaim the resurrected one. I'm not saying we should be like Peter, but I am saying we should not be afraid to simply talk about Jesus. So every time we speak, we are praising the Lord. Saints, it is no longer enough to carry around the umbrella. We are called to use it, to proclaim it. Because as Easter people, we are witnesses to the movement of the Holy Spirit and the truth of Christ. Truth not only sets us free, but it breaks the chains, the barriers that would seek to limit those who embrace it. So where is the risen Christ? The risen Christ is in you, in us. in your actions, in your words, in your fight for injustice. The risen Christ is in your conversations with each other. Simply talking about Jesus and showing up for those who need you. Where is the risen Christ? He is with you. He is you. He is the umbrella you carry for protection. Because sometimes when it rains and you have an umbrella and your friend does not, what do? You share it. So let's proclaim Christ, sharing the good news, the why, the forgiveness, the grace, the love, the eternal life. And show the world the how we do it. The word of God for the glorious Easter people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are risen in and through us and are using us for your glory. Thank you for your love. And as our praise band lifts our hearts and reminds us who we are in you, I ask, O God, that you cover us, you protect us, you lead and guide us as only you can. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen.